Previously, on Solve the World.
I told you already, the Piper took her. That's what happened. It's been 1,000 years, so you better believe he doesn't just play his little whistle or flute or kazoo or whatever anymore. He's evolved. Solve the World, a fictional adventure told in 100 episodes.
Ich komm der Hölle, blässe Glut.
Episode 51, Meet Pied Piper.
Once upon a time, in the beginning, there was creation. Then there was more creation, and more creation, and more, and more. That's when my life got complicated. If there was just creation, then there'd be no problem. We wouldn't all be in this mess. Good story, huh? I was never much of a storyteller. You should have seen this one guy. I'd tell you his name, but it wouldn't mean anything to you. It's best just to think of him as one of the guys. This guy, let me tell you, he was the best storyteller there ever was. Died a few thousand years ago, before the first big play. How many plays are we up to now? 3? 4? Hard to say. There's no one really to debate with. I could ask one of the old ones. I think they're better at the history stuff than I am, but I'm not really on speaking terms with any of them, the old hags. You want to hear a joke? I like jokes. A man goes to his doctor, or let's say the emergency room. Yeah, that'll work. This man goes to the emergency room. Let's call him Harry. Harry's a funny name. Our guy Harry, he's in all this pain, you see. That's why he goes to the emergency room. He goes there, and a doctor comes to check up on our guy, full of woe, Harry. Harry tells the doc, Harry says, "Hey doc, I'm in so much pain, I can't stand it." Harry's sitting down, of course. Harry continues, I can't lie down. Harry's in a bad way, you see. I can't even stay seated, it's so bad. "So bad indeed," the doctor answers. "Harry, what should we call the doctor? How about Lloyd?" Dr. Lloyd tells Harry, Hey, Harry, I guess the only thing left to do is hang yourself." Get it? It's pretty good. I've been holding on to that one for a while. I, by the way, am your loyal servant. I've gone by many names. You may continue to call me Pied Piper if you like. I've got so many name tags. What does it matter anymore? Call me Harry if you prefer, Lloyd if you really want to. The truth is, I've been called Akhenaten, Nostradamus, Rasputin. I was Gihong in China, which, granted, saying in English might be funnier than Harry and Lloyd. I also called myself the reincarnation of Siddhartha. At one point. Yep. They called me Buddha. See, here's the thing. When they find out how old you are, how really old Grandpa is, they think you must be omniscient or something very near it. There's these movies now, always about vampires, which, by the way, why is it that in Western culture the only being that can be immortal without any say-so is the vampire? What's your guys' deal with vampires? You've got an addiction there. But see, even there, that proves my point. Right there and then, doesn't it? All the vampires in the movies and stuff are super-duper suave and refined and essentially have mastered all aspects of society and the high life. That's just the thing. Living indefinitely doesn't make you a genius. Far from it. At best, I've grown better at recognizing genius in others, but it hasn't found me yet. You may find that weird, but think it through. You've got the same size brain as me. Well, roughly. It's funny. Not funny like Harry and Lloyd and Gihong, but funny nonetheless. There are whole language families I've forgotten, languages I used to be fluent in, I used to think in them. Even ancient Chinese. I was Gihong, and I was speaking a language that didn't make that name sound funny. Every day I spoke Chinese, I thought in Chinese. Now, okay, I can remember a good portion of it since Mandarin is still around. It still comes in handy from time to time. But Sanskrit? I don't even think I can count to 10 in Sanskrit anymore. What a shame. Here's a truth nugget for you. You're only as old as your memory. And boy, I remember. I remember, and I remember some moments so vividly. A mid-morning's day, 2,500 years ago in Greece. I remember the dew on the leaves that morning, the sound of the ocean battling the Peloponnesian coast. And yet, yesterday, what did I do? I'm not sure. What did I eat? No clue. What did I imbibe? A little of this, a little of that. Gosh, it's depressing, no? A day is like 1,000 years. That part's fine, but 1,000 years is like a day. Yeesh! Gadzooks, guys, just gadzooks and say whammy. How about another joke? Gotta get our minds on jollier trails. Did you hear the one about the luckless eunuch? No? He got himself a hernia. So, the Pied Piper trick. That's what you want to hear about, right? Because Jenny ran into crazy, drug-addled Dolores Burden. Man, guys, the deal with her, she's there. There's so many copycats out there. I've always loved that word, copycat. We all intuitively understand what it means, but let me ask you this. You ever seen a cat copy you? Not so much. Honestly, I know I'm no Johannes Kepler. I enjoy staring at a Caravaggio as much as the next guy. I'm pretty much center John, a dude in the middle, if you will. Nothing special anymore, at least. But all that's to say, come on, I'm not going to try the same trick twice, especially when it didn't work the first time. And double especially, why would I use a name, an idea that I already associated with terror and tricks? Maybe the other way around, tricks and terror. Not quite trick or treat, but it's pretty good. Tricks and terror. Tricks and Terror, now a major motion picture. Why does Adam only reach half-interestedly at God on the Sistine Chapel? Because he's pulled God's finger before. It's a fart joke. I have it on good authority that God gave us farts so that we'd have a universal joke. The one joke understood by every tribe, tongue, culture, and time period. The eponymous fart, the one joke to rule them all. Dolores Burden has nothing to do with me. I didn't send her. I didn't send the green flame. Not me. But I'm not above using her. She thinks she's serving me? Well, okay then. That's something that can be worked with, can be manipulated, reformed and reformed. See what I did there? Reformed and reformed. Pretty neat, no? I've looked at this world so many times. A world full of copycats, and still a world full of wonder. If you allow it. My nemesis and his ilk, everywhere they go, every place they set up, be it a center for higher learning, a church, a cult, a self-help asylum, a secret society, an underground society, a league of popular gentlemen, sometimes a whole dictatorship, in every sense, every place, they always do this thing with empathy. I understand the logic. Break down someone's sense of guilt, someone's compassion, and they're more likely to do your horrible bidding. Get rid of the hindrances, and evil is free to excel. It's a stupid game, though. A futile one. Take your girl, Jenny Dash. You can't deprogram her ability to empathize. No, not possible. You might get close. You might get her not to feel 98% of the time. But there's so much darn variables in life. That 2% is going to find a way to keep on popping up. It'll always rear its beautiful, grotesque face. How's this for a real answer to your empathy conundrum? Put yourself through it. See a child cry. Remember being a child crying. Feel like whipping someone with cattails is unnecessary. Be whipped by cattails. All these years, all these things, these words, memories, pains, mostly pains. There's nothing I haven't felt. It is my glory, my honor, and my continual despair. But it makes every pain I inflict on others, my children, all bearable. Take the now. 70 or so years of investment is just now. In a sudden splash, paying untold dividends. Will it be enough? It never seems to be. But maybe, maybe. Makes you wonder if God's got my back after all. I never seem to succeed, but each failure bears some sort of through line. Look, if I try to explain the history of all things, I'll lose you. But start here. The 20th century. The Great War. Technology made it possible to pit the whole world against itself. More bloodshed than ever before. Than ever fathomable. Add to the lines of young boys dying like sheep jumping over the moon, poison gas. I thought I had it licked. As a backup plan, the Spanish flu. You'd think that dynamic duo would do it, force the end of the story. But no, the war ended, and can you believe it? The whole thing, the darn godforsaken war, was over nothing. Just a bunch of treaties, fixed alliances. The war ended, 20 million dead. Double that died from the Spanish flu. Still, what did I accomplish in the whole shebang? 9% of the world. I only managed to off 9% of the world. Any way you look at it, it was a failure. And a horrifically costly one at that. I don't war. Of course I don't. I'm the good guy. That's language you understand, right? I'm the good guy. I'll repeat. I'm the good guy. I hated that war, and hated that it didn't work. But out of the ashes, another try in the 40s. This one's got genocide, but the poison gases are missing from the battle lines. Thankfully, air raids come every month, bigger than the last. But there's no plague this time around, and the little man atomic bomb doesn't incite the Soviets like I'd hoped. At least, not yet. But see, the thread lines extended from there? Kings and potentates didn't forget about America's power weapon. It took forever, but now it's happening. But I've learned you can't win with one punch. You need simultaneous activity. I needed a new plague, one that would feed on fear as much as human flesh. Not just fear, mind you. I tried that 700 years ago. I rummaged a special combination, mix compassion with fear. You wouldn't think they'd be bosom buddies, but somehow it works. The Lonely Plague will get 40% of the world's population by my estimation. Yes, way better, way more successful than anything I've dabbled with in the last 400 years. But it doesn't matter, 5% could do it, if in the right place. The problem with both plagues and general arm-to-arm war is that neither decimate whole populations. There are always those stragglers left behind, left alive somehow. These bombs, though, as long as they keep coming, strong and hard, will work. Will cover the globe with radiation. Doesn't matter what problem childs like little Jenny Dash do, the radiation will end every man, woman, child, infant. And I'll be able to breathe again. The story will be over. My nemesis, our collective enemy, will suffer and come groveling back an utter failure. I am not your enemy. Though I slay you, I am not your enemy. The one I hate is the one you should, the shining man on a hill. I was with him long ago before you were born, and I curse the day of his birth. He is your enemy, as he is mine. The world must perish so that he is not armed. This is why I play my songs. This is why the children follow my fiddle and fife. Blah, 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 blah. How's this one? An old lady farts a lot. She knows this because she lives alone and she intermittently smells something putrid sweep up into her nostrils. She runs to the doctor and says, "Doctor, doctor, I've been having the most episodes of personal gas that I've ever smelt." The doctor asks what the farts sound like. The old wart replies, "Oh, they're all silent. That's how they get me." "Can you push one out for me?" the doctor asks. The cranky widower flushes her cheeks and gives it her best shot. She says, "I think I did it. It usually takes a few seconds before I smell anything." Nodding his head, the doctor writes down a prescription and tells the old bag of bones, "Take her meds and come back to him in a week." 1 week later, the old hag's bag in a bigger fuss than ever. "Doctor, doctor, it's gotten worse. Now my farts sound like atomic bombs going off in my room 20 times a day. I can't bear it." Doctor nods kindly and smiles. "Good. We're making good progress." The old wench is completely flabbergasted. That's a great word, flabbergasted. She shouts back at the doctor, "How on earth are we making progress? You've turned my poisonous gas into stink bombs." "We've cured your swimmer's ear. Now we can turn our attention to the farts." "Why didn't you pay attention to the farts first? I wanted you to know how badly they sound, honestly." Another fart joke. Maybe not the best, but it is what it is. Flabbergasted fart. The flog flipped for a feminine flabbergasted fart. Frozen freaks fall for flabbergasted farts. From far, few friends fume. No, let's try. Flabbergasted farts from feudal foregrounds for friends from far-flung formulations. What was I talking about? Spanish fly. The wars. The new war. The lonely plague. Ah. Mr. Clovis, Charles Clovis, C.C., to his friends. You know him by another name, though. That's how you know you've made it, right? By the number of names people call you? It's true of good guys and bad guys alike. For example, George Herman Ruth Jr., a.k.a. Babe Ruth, a.k.a. Big Bam, the Sultan of SWAT, the Great Bambino, or just the Babe. The list goes on. Icons go by many names. CeCe, one of my better strokes of genius, is most assuredly an icon. You may know him as Bishtako, or the Numbered Man, or 666, which frankly I'm not a fan of. The whole Bible reference thing isn't really my cup of tea. Leave that insanity to my enemy, our enemy. CeCe, he's a good kid. I worked him over for a while. Without my help, never become the historic menace that he'll be in time. In time. Man alive, I put so many hours into this kid. It's crazy. Not since Genghis Khan have I labored so long for the heart and mind of one man. Not soul, mind you. I don't work for souls. Well, that's not entirely accurate, but I work for souls in the opposite way that my nemesis works for them. Think about a fart. My adversary, he tries to get you to fart. He pushes on your stomach, your bladder. He does all sorts of voodoo to cause you to squeeze one out. What I do is much different. I feed you the right sort of foods, so that when you do eventually fart, by his will or by some other means, your fart, due in large part to my back-breaking work, sniffs of daisies and daffodils. I make your farts pretty. I make them lovely. In a nutshell, that's my work. Except instead of working in the natural gas business, I deal with spirits. Souls. Eternal identities. Spooky, sure, if you don't know what you're talking about, but once you get it, once you understand, the work is about as mundane and inert as painting a wall burgundy. There is urgency, though. There is. That wall needs to be painted burgundy. That fart must come out pretty. I'm running out of time. You're running out of time. The clock is ticking. If I can wake Leviathan in time, everything will be okay. If I can't, more than just hell will be paid. Like I said, CC's a good kid. Chemical baths messed him up a bit face-wise, but he's a rocker, and he knows it. His plague, it's a beautiful thing. Twists in the wind. Spins like a feather in an updraft. How much longer must I work? How much longer must I toil? Toil. Fun word. Toil. Toil, toil, toil. Toil. Tricks and terror. Tricks and toil, terror. Tricks and terror and toil. To keep the mind fresh gets harder with time, you know? Senility is always a breath away. You have to keep your mind filled, captivated at all hours. That's the secret. I know a lot of secrets. Have you heard the prayer of senility before? I didn't come up with it. I haven't come up with much. I let all of you do that these days. All of you, the numbered men, and the Genghis Khan, and the presidents with their thumbs on the trigger. The prayer of senility goes like this. God, grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked, the good fortune to run into those I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference. Did I tell you you're only as old as your memory? It's true, you know. It's all true. I should know. I was there. Jenny will be okay. In the long run. She'll die, but she'll be okay. As long as we wake Leviathan up in time.
Solve the World is produced by me, Dante Stack. Full attribution for all the music and sound effects used in this episode and every episode of Solve the World can be found on our show notes page at DanteStack.com. A very, very big thank you to our voice talent today. Justin Boats has been the voice of Pied Piper. Justin did a magnanimous job just taking this role by the horns. If you happen to be in the Chicago area, Justin, aka the Pied Piper, is currently putting on a show called Shut Up, I'm Flying. The show is playing just through February 25th at the Prop Theater in Chicago. So you can search for Shut Up, I'm Flying on Facebook to get more details. If you get a chance, Justin's a true visionary in every sense of that word. So give him your time if you have it, and you're in Chicago. If you weren't aware, I also produce another weekly podcast. That one's called 365 Honest Questions About the Bible. It is a Bible podcast, yes, but I've tried to sculpt it to be interesting and entertaining for the Christian and the atheist alike. What we do is we look at little pieces of the Bible, and I analyze it to the best of my ability, and I leave it at that. I don't try to preach at you. I don't try to wrap the Bible up in a nice little bow. It's a show about asking questions, and it's as heartfelt as I can make it, and it's about wrestling. Because even if you're sure in whatever you believe, be it atheism or Christianity or something in between, I don't think the road's done there. There's still deeper to go, and that doesn't mean we are creatures that can suddenly block out all doubt. So a lot of the show is me wrestling with my own personal doubts about the Bible and the Christian faith. Infotainment, guys. I bring it up today because I recently did an episode entitled Who or What is Lilith? The name Lilith shows up in the Hebrew Bible, and it's very strange and has some very eccentric ideas attached to it. It's not just some woman's name. It seems to harbor much more in it than that. Obviously, I bring that up because when I named Lilith Babbitt, I knew full well the baggage that that name brings with it. So even if you're not interested in that podcast in general, this episode might be one worth listening to if you're a big Solve the World fan. You can find it on my website, DanteStack.com, or iTunes, or anywhere else. That's 365 Honest Questions. Okay, thanks, guys.